following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday, 21st day of July, 9 days away from Big Ten Media Days, and good job, good time to go right smack dab in the middle of our previews here. We go to Ohio State. The defending national champions, Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch, will join us at the bottom of the hour here on the Doug and Danny Show. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk with Jeff Perdue. He is the general manager of golf out of the Warri Dunes, and he got to spend time early in his career and Zach Johnson's career. They were out on the mini tours together. I know a lot of folks in this area, Damon, can relate to watching the rodeo cowboy pile all like 3-4 guys in a truck and putting the horses in the back if that's your sport and heading to a variety of rodeos. Well, that's kind of the way it is on the mini tour in golf. 3-4 guys piling in a car, throwing your clubs in, and just hoping to scratch out enough money that week to pay for the gas. I mean, there's no money on the mini tour.
Oh, no, and you got to be a sharpshooter. I mean, you got to go low. You got to go low often, and you know, If you've been around golf or you talk to some of those golfers, some of the most talented golfers in the world are on the mini tours, and you know, they're gunners. They're out there and they can go low. They can do certain things, but they lack an intangible. They lack maybe the full mental game to do some things that can get them onto tour. It's kind of like the guy who throws 101 in the minor leagues. You know, he's kind of that quad A guy, that guy that's, you know, tearing it up in Triple A, but can't quite make it in the major leagues for whatever mental capacity or whatever hurdle he has. It's the same thing in golf. There's some gunners out there on the mini tour, and I think what Zach Johnson did yesterday was awesome. I thought that the way that he carried himself was phenomenal. I think that the story of just persevering, especially for Zach Johnson from the standpoint of, you know, it's got to get frustrating when everybody's 50 yards ahead of you. Everybody's 75 yards ahead of you. I mean, every time that you go to hit, you're always hitting first because everybody's out driving you. And I think that's what's cool about St. Andrews. And I think that's what's cool about those types of golf courses where, you know, it didn't matter how far you hit it. It mattered how you wedged it, and it mattered how you putted it. And so I would be very interested to talk with Jeff about just, you know, how long and how tough of a road was it for Zach to not give up.
Were you pleased with the way the tournament wrapped up yesterday? I thought it was a good discussion on PTI, pardon the interruption, with Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon yesterday. Kornheiser, I think, took an extra step, called it anticlimactic, and was apologetic for calling it anticlimactic. I'm not sure that was the phrase maybe I would have used there, but the point was none of the possible storylines came in. Zach Johnson won it. He's Zach Johnson. It's hard to believe that it's been that long ago that he won the Masters, because he's always there, and he'll play in any tournament at any time, and he's always a good player. He hasn't really fallen off the face of the earth at any time in his career. But obviously, when you're rooting, like I said, all week, last week and yesterday, I want Jordan Spieth to win and don't get beat by one stroke and don't get beat by somebody we've never heard of. Well, he got beat by one stroke. The bogey on 17, which definitely was a makeable putt, he missed it. Missed it bad. And it happens out there. And I think when you look at the whole, I think what we'll come back to, and I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about this, he was playing along. He got to that par 3 eighth, the one that he four-putted. But let's remember the green was 100 yards wide or 100 feet wide, more than that. You know, it's yards and yards. And he bombed the first one by and then didn't get it close enough and four-putted. He took a double bogey. Bogey the hole. There's no pressure down the stretch. I mean, it's not the same. It's not like you have to get that shot like you had to get on 18. But that is the moment I point to, is he lost his cool momentarily on that hole, and it may have cost him the major.
And I think for good theater and good commentary and everything else, you talk about woulda, shoulda, couldas, but he bounced back with a birdie on 9 with a little bit of fire in his belly. Who says if he doesn't do the four-putt that he's even – that gets that locked in? I mean, that's the thing. You know,
he could just
be ho-humming around, but that kind of seemed to trigger something. And so I don't go with the whole, oh, if he doesn't do this or doesn't do that. I thought as a true, true golf fan, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you're the average
golf
fan,
rarely have this many guys competing for the title, let alone a major title.
I think if you're the average golf fan, because of how the schedule went, you checked out on Saturday morning when you woke up to watch it. And that's just being, you know, I really think that the British Open, I mean, I understand that there's weather issues and you ran into all the darkness and there's all those types of things for the wind and everything like that. But basically at the end of the day, I thought yesterday they talked about probably the lowest ratings for a final round ever for a British Open, or since they kind of started to track that type of stuff. I just think the RNA really screwed up on some things from a standpoint of they could have handled the weather situation better. You know, how windy is too windy? And I mean, is it ever really too windy to play golf? And I understand that, you know, to me, as the golf guy and whatnot, they sent guys out for 37 minutes. And don't tell me it picked up that much. And, you know, so they sent guys out in 37 minutes, and it cost just Jordan Spieth a stroke there.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if you want to go back and start to, I mean, that's the thing that that a lot of people don't want to talk about is he dropped a stroke there in the 32 minutes that he was out on the course. What if nobody plays on that day? And so I thought the RNA kind of bungled the whole thing. I didn't understand why they didn't go 36 on Sunday. You know, type of thing with
tradition.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but is it traditional finishing on Monday? I thought getting Tom Watson to finish was kind of short-sighted from the standpoint of...
No, horrible. You're totally wrong. Tom Watson had to finish. Tom Watson didn't want to come back the next morning and play 18. And I don't want to go a whole hour on the show, folks, just talking golf. Damon and I can do that.
Right.
But you are totally wrong.
I disagree with you.
If you're going to have Tom Watson
This was not the Tom Watson
Open.
But
at that point, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Spieth out there, Dustin Johnson.
They had the option to stop.
No,
they had the option.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not. Go back through.
Yes, they did.
The RNA decides who stops. Players don't decide.
They had a whole – Curtis Strange was totally off base.
Look it back up. The players do not decide. The RNA decides when it – you can't say it's too dark. You can say because of lightning. You can say because of thunder.
They specifically said on the broadcast that each official with each group told the group that if they do not want to continue, they can stop, which was followed by Curtis Strange going on a rant about, well, if one group stops, the other one can't pass them, so if you stop on 15, everybody has to stop.
We will agree to disagree because we are here. We heard probably watched the same thing but heard it in different ways. I personally disagree. I bet you there's a lot of people out there that totally agree with me. Why should they rush through everything in a major championship for one guy to... And I understand that no one wanted it to happen that way, but unfortunately it happened that way. So now we're impacting the championship, the British Open, the 144th British Open. We are impacting the final results for one player. I think that's wrong.
The only player defected, in my opinion, is Ernie Els, because Ernie Els was right there on the cut line on 18 playing with Tom Watson and Brant Snedeker. Brant needed to eagle, so knocking his second shot on a par 4 to make the cut. So, okay, whatever. Nobody did it all week. And Ernie Els would have had to double bogey or bogey or double bogey. I think he was at one under when they played the hole, and Watson was far from out of it. So Okay, we'll disagree. I want to talk a little baseball. We were going to talk a little more golf with Jeff Perdue, the GM of golf out at Owerri Dunes. Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch is going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'd love to hear from you on that rant there, and you can all tell me how right I am. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You totally blew my mind because I know I had a baseball question for you, not related as to what we were talking about. But we've got all the American Legion teams. I think that's the point I wanted to make. I'll come up with the question again later. But as I'm reading the sports this morning, I'm going, they're all in. They're all, I mean, all of them that can be in the area from Grand Isle, Hastings, and Kearney are in. Now, when it comes to the juniors, they can't all get to state. But no matter what happens tonight, Kearney runs a Hastings, Grand Island, they're all in. You get into this where you had to fight through the loser's bracket. I kept saying, well, this is the team that has to win twice. Well, Hastings is going to have to beat Kearney Runza twice. Columbus is going to have to beat Grand Island Home Federal twice. North Platte is going to have to beat the Hastings juniors twice. And Gretna is going to have to beat Grand Island 5 Points juniors twice. That's pretty remarkable. Even for the good tradition that the Tri-Cities teams have, they have had a good season and they have had a great postseason so far.
Without a doubt, I think it just speaks to the strength of baseball in Central Nebraska. I think it goes to show you the type of players that and the type of athletes, really, because I think if you go through the rosters of the majority of those kids, they're a little bit different from, say, the Lincoln and Omaha baseball programs from the standpoint of some of those guys still do play two sports. Some of those guys are still multi-athletes in different types of sports. And so I've been out to see a lot of games. It's been good baseball. People ask me all the time, you know what, it's been good baseball. Followed by what young people do, sometimes get sloppy. And I think that's when you kind of get into this postseason, there's the pressure, there's the anxiety. It means a lot to these kids. So you're going to see more errors. You're going to see, you know, some scores get inflated in a hurry. Don't forget, this is tournament format. I always love when people are like, oh, so-and-so beat so-and-so by 9-10 runs. Well, hey, when you're down by 6 with 3 innings to go, you're not burning pitching when you're the losing team. I mean, it ain't no difference if you lose by 6 or 15. You're still losing. So, you know, I think those are some of the things. But I have always been impressed with what Central Nebraska does, and I do think that this is probably one of the stronger years as an entire whole for the talent level that we've seen in Central Nebraska.
And in the junior state tournaments, the lone local team left is Alma. They won again yesterday, knocking out Wymore 5-4, so they're scheduled to play West Point today, 5 o'clock in Dodge. We're going to take a break. Coming up, we've got Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, and our Big Ten football preview with Ohio State. But first, we'll head out to Owerri, and we'll have Jeff Perdue settle our argument. He played a lot of golf with Zach Johnson on the mini tours, the British Open champion. We'll talk with him after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Golfers, mark your calendar for August 1st and 2nd and play in the annual Miller Coors 3-person golf scramble at the beautiful Kearney Country Club. Not only does your entry fee include golf, cart, and steak dinner, but a Calcutta, prizes, and 4 complimentary Miller or Coors products. A practice round on Friday, a shootout Friday night, and golf Saturday and Sunday. Call the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553 and sign up for the annual Miller Coors 3-person golf scramble August 1st and 2nd.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've gotta see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, we'll see a good deal of sunshine with those high temperatures near 83. Then for tonight, partly cloudy skies, a slight chance for a late night shower or storm, lows reaching the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 75 degrees.
Daddy's show rolling along Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I haven't seen one on a golf course yet, but they could get the job done. Your T&L Pivot Irrigation dealers would love to talk with you about getting some T&L in your fields. Whether it's thinking ahead to 2016, maybe we're far enough along here in 2015. Let's face it, you've got your pivot system working. If it doesn't have that T&L tag and you're looking out there going, this ain't working. Well, it's never too early to think ahead for 2016. You can also still recover. There's still a lot of growing time left. Talk to your local T&L dealer, Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, Kyle Stewart, R&K Irrigation in Grand Island. Check out the new GPS navigation corner system that we've been telling you has appeared on the market over the last year. It will take care of those little spots on your farm or your multiple fields and take care of you for 2015. TL, like no other, TLIRR.com. You really couldn't put probably one of the big ones on a golf course. They'd maybe leave, I don't know, would they track it a little bit?
Yeah, I think you'd have to go up and over it, too.
Here's one for you.
Lateral hazard?
Played over the weekend. There is a spot on the course where the wires have to come across the course.
Okay.
Old wood pole. How big is a power pole? How girthy is
it? I'm going to go 12 inches in diameter.
Whack. First chance I got. Whack. Retee. Whack. Hit it just once.
Now.
And it wasn't in the fairway. No. No, you had to yank it a little left about 75 yards off the tee.
Now, is that a harder shot than hitting it on the green?
I do things you can't explain.
You know, that's one of those, you know, if you think about it from a fairway, you know, that's a better shot than.
Have you been playing well out of the war?
Yes.
Okay.
On the front.
Can we get confirmation from their GM of golf, Jeff?
I don't know.
Will he know?
He's a good guy, but I don't know if he hasn't been up to play with me yet.
Jeff joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Do we have surveillance video of Damon Day out there, Jeff?
We fly a drone every time he plays, just for visual evidence. Make sure he's not rolling the ball down the pant leg or anything like that.
It can happen, and out there it could roll if you were on the right side of the green. And that's kind of the fun thing, Awori and British Open and all this to talk about. But the reason Jeff Perdue is joining us here on the Duncan Daddy Show is not only his local vibe here at Awori and all that we can talk about there, but he had the opportunity to play on the mini tours. And I remember back when he won, when Zach played with Zach Johnson, the British Open champion, and when Zach won the green jacket, Chad Lydiot, who also is at Awori and has been a lifelong Kearneyite, was talking about playing that. And Jeff, I guess we'll get into the story of how this all came about, but as you're watching someone that you know and somewhat stay in contact with, it's got to be a different feeling watching a golf tournament when he's not really on the leaderboard to start the day yesterday and fires a 66.
Well, and it's pretty typical of Zach. The media tends to think, you know, he probably doesn't get the credit he's due. He's not a big guy. He doesn't hit the ball long ways. You know, he's not handsome in a tuxedo like Adam Scott or Dustin Johnson. So, you know, Chad and I both, we always get a little upset at Golf Channel and, you know, that they don't talk about him as much as we think they should. I think it's when I hear parents with junior golfers talk about it's more nervous watching your kid than playing yourself. I mean, it's way more nerve-wracking watching your buddy try and grind out a major championship or any tour victory for that matter, but especially the British Open at St. Andrews, the Claret Jug, all the history, and to think that he, you know, was going to have a realistic chance to win down the stretch and have a green jacket and his name on the Claret Jug. And you know, to us, a guy we traveled around the Midwest playing mini tours together, and that's our buddy, and to have that kind of fame in the game of golf is just, it's pretty surreal. It really is.
Jeff, Damon Day here, and obviously you probably had the opportunity to watch yesterday, and obviously the putt on 18 was enormously big, but what were two or three shots there coming into the clubhouse that you thought, wow, he's really grinding, he does have it kind of going a little bit? What were two or three moments that you were kind of sitting there watching going, that was a big putt or that was a big shot?
You know, obviously the putt on 18, and I agree with you. I mean, that's a have-to-make-it putt. And Chad and I were watching it together, and you weren't going to get us away from the TV, obviously, with Zach playing well. I really thought, we talked early on into the back nine that we thought 16 under would win outright and 15 would be in a playoff. And, you know, when you've been around the game for a while and stuff, those calls aren't that hard to make at the end of a tournament. Barring somebody, you know, holing out from a fairway or doing something you can't predict. But we really thought once the playoffs started, the biggest thing was when he rolled it in for birdie on the first playoff hole on top of Louis. Because, you know, when you match somebody, that's a match play scenario. And, yeah, it's three guys going at it, but it's a match play scenario. And when somebody rolls in a birdie putt and you roll it in on top of them, you know, you're just kind of sending that mental message that I can't be rattled, and I'm going to match everything you can do. And then he rolls it in on the second hole. You know, and that was really a huge message, you know, that Louis's a great player, obviously, and was hitting the ball great and putting the ball in position. But every time Louis did something, Zach just answered it. And that was probably the biggest thing, really.
Talking with Jeff Perdue, GM of golf out at Owari Dunes here just south of Kearney, and he has played quite a bit of golf with Zach Johnson. Now, we're going back to the late 90s in that era. Jeff, just tell us a little bit, how did you guys hook up? Give us the backstory here.
Well, Chad, Lydia, and I, we've been friends since high school, and I grew up in Lincoln, and after college, we both played many tours, and we ended up traveling together. And we knew Zach's assistant coach at Drake, Chris Elgert. Chris grew up in Lincoln. Chris won the state high school golf tournament, actually, my senior year. He played at Nebraska. And he is Zach's assistant coach at Drake. And he had told us that he had two players that were going to turn pro after college, Zach being one of them, and a guy named Ben Pettit. And Ben was really their number one player, and Zach probably their two or three player, and asked us if, you know, we'd play a practice round with them, and we did. And Zach and Ben both aren't very big guys, and I think they looked like they were about 14 years old at the time, and they didn't say much. And, you know, it was only a matter of weeks, and they started traveling with Chad and I and a couple other guys that we were all friends with. And, you know, it was really a lot of fun. We probably did that for the better part of three seasons, and obviously spent a lot of time together, a lot of rounds of golf. And our group of guys was just very, very competitive. And that's the thing that it was mentioned yesterday in the broadcast some, that underneath Zach's kind of Goodman Western boy mentality and disposition is, I mean, he's as competitive as anybody you'd meet. And, you know, every day if it wasn't games on the chipping green or the putting green or on the golf course, we'd play Trivial Pursuit at night. And, you know, everything was a game. Everything turns into a game. So, you know, we spent a lot of time together. That was in the late 90s. I got out of playing in 2000 and went to work as a club professional. And guys like Chad and Zach were a little better players than I was. So they kept playing and obviously had success. So it was a lot of good memories yesterday watching him.
Jeff, when we talked a little bit yesterday, it's unique because when you're playing the mini tours, everybody is pretty decent. And Zach was never looked at as the guy, as you said, that was going to overpower a golf course. At what point, as you watched his career and kept talking with him, where did it click? Everybody talks about how great the wedge play is, and that's how he won the golf tournament, was wedge play and putting, and that's how he won the Masters. He doesn't drive the ball that far. When did it turn for this guy?
Well, I think you could start to see it every year, and maybe not even every year. It was like every 30 to 45 days, he just kept getting better and better. And, you know, you talk about you get up in the morning, you just want to be better at the end of the day than you were in the morning. Well, I mean, Zach was kind of the epitome of that. His experiences just seemed to make him better. He just really learned from everything. And he was always diligent about his practice drills and a hard worker, but I'm not going to say he was any harder than the guys that he traveled with in terms of work ethic, but we all worked pretty hard. But you could see it in 99 because he Monday qualified twice on the Nationwide Tour in 99. 2000, he actually made it to finals at Q School, and he is conditionally exempt on the Nationwide Tour, but his number was so low, I think he only played 10, 11, 12 times. But that was great experience for him. So then he doesn't get through Q School in 2001, and he plays the Hooters Tour full-time. And at the end of that season, that was probably really big, when you knew that, okay, he's definitely good enough to be on tour, because he won the money title on the Hooters Tour. He won three times. He got a tour exemption to play in the PGA event at Kings Mill. He turned around in 2002. He didn't get his tour card again. And he Monday qualified for the PGA Tour event in Atlanta, the Bell South. And he made the cut. In fact, he was on 18 green on Sunday afternoon. He was paired with Patty Harrington. And he had a putt from the fringe for eagle. And if he just makes birdie, he's going to top 10, which would have got him into the next, like, full field event. And he actually, statistically, three-putted. In golfers' minds, he actually four-putted, and I think finished about 20th. But, you know, every time he had an opportunity, he excelled. The nerves didn't get to him too much. He handles the big stage pretty well. He's just a guy that he's just really comfortable with who he is. He's not trying to be somebody that he's not. And, you know, so I'd say, you know, from that 91 or 99 to about 2002, the guys that played with him and knew him, that was really where you saw it, you know, materialize. And you really knew, this guy's going to make it.
Jeff, before we let you go, maybe the last time you talked to him, what'd you talk about? And is there something that we know? I mean, he is what we see. I mean, there's nothing fake about Zach Johnson, but give us an interesting story or an interesting tidbit that maybe the general golf fan doesn't know about Zach.
Well, he likes tennis shoes. He's pretty frugal, but the kid has more tennis shoes than anybody I know. But, no, Chad and I both texted with him last night and got responses from him this morning. You know, I'd say we're in touch about every week. I saw him it would have been January of 2014. I was a pro in Chicago at the time, and my assistant and I happened to be down his way and spent a pretty much an entire day with him at his golf club in Sea Island, Georgia. And he took us through his practice drills that he'd been doing at that time. And I thought it was a really neat thing for my assistant to hear a tour player and hear what they work on and how they work on it and help his teaching. And Zach started out, and I think this really applies to what he did yesterday. And he looked at the golf bag, and he slaps his driver, and he says, I want to be really, really, really good at what I'm good at. And that's my driver, my wedges, my chipping, and my putting. And he said, I don't practice a three wood. I don't practice with a four iron. I practice my driver, my wedges, my chipping, and my putting. And, you know, and if you look at how he won the Open Championship, it was a driver, it was his wedges, his chipping, and his putting. You know, it wasn't hitting a long iron. It wasn't hitting fairway woods. It was that he's the best in the game when it comes to hitting wedge shots. And he putts it about as well as anybody out there, maybe with the exception of a couple guys like Steve Stricker. And so when you're really good at a couple of those things, you're going to win golf tournaments.
You know,
not every course will set up perfect for you, but when they do, you know, he gets it done.
Well, Zach Johnson definitely got it done over the five-day tournament, and you'll have to let us know when he's going to come up and play a Worry, okay, Jeff?
Well, there's a big Nebraska-Iowa football game this fall in Lincoln, so you never know.
All right, buddy. We will be in touch again and appreciate the time and the background, and thanks for the time, Jeff.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
GM of golf out of the Worry Dunes, Jeff Perdue, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Played a lot of mini-tour events. That's hard living with British Open champion Zach Johnson. We do need to take a break. We'll be back and get into our Big Ten preview. Tim May, Ohio State, Columbus Dispatch, next.
The Buffalo County Fair and the Midway Auto Dealerships welcome the legendary Alabama.
Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
That's Alabama, live Friday, July 24th, Landmark Implement Arena, showtime 7:30, with opening act Eric Paslay. Get tickets now at etix.com.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Your customers make your business. Every day you want to attract new customers and keep the ones you have, at the same time running your business within a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, wall graphics, banner stands, and even wraps for your company vehicles. Copycat Printing can help you stand out at the fair or conventions with a booth that will turn people's heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, 21st and Avenue A in the downtown Kearney Center, or visit their website, kearneycopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
One of the most important things we can teach our kids is driving. Safe, proper driving habits keep your child safe from accidents long after they get their license. If you're looking for a new career or promotion, CDL and truck driving classes are available too. More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center's website. The Nebraska Safety Center is here to serve your needs of driver education and other traffic-related classes.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Show
Zone, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Doodle, over baseball coach Damon Day with us. If you're looking for a little lunch, a little dinner, or just some appetizers in the afternoon, a place to kick back in the evening, enjoy some food, your favorite cold beverages, and, of course, your favorite sporting events, that is the Chicken Coop in Kearney. It has got everything you need. One of the reasons their flame-broiled buffalo wings are so good is the way that they make them, cooked over an open flame. Put on your choice of one of their numerous homemade sauces, seared onto the wing to give it that one-of-a-kind flavor. They also offer the best television sports viewing with all of your favorite sports packages, not to mention ice-cold beverages. Need room to accommodate large groups? Well, they offer convenient party areas, so stop in today at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. In Kearney, no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Let's talk a little baseball here.
I would like to say thank. I would like to thank everybody, all the numerous emails that we've received in support of my place in this debate. So I'd like to thank the Kearney community for that resounding vote of confidence that you showed in me in defeating Doug.
You're so full of it.
Thank you.
You're absolutely totally.
You're appreciated. Your support is much appreciated.
Just because you signed their checks doesn't mean that it counts on today's show. Come on, man. Got a little. I hate saying the word fall, so I'm not going to say it. But you've got fall baseball coming up. What's going on, man?
Yeah, we're starting a youth fall baseball academy. It's kind of something. It's been a brainchild of our assistant coach Chris Hodges. Kind of something that I have talked about doing on numerous kinds, and we've kind of fiddled with it in different varying degrees. But just kind of with the expansion of what we're trying to do as a baseball program and our community outreach programs. And so this is kind of something that we just kind of threw together and not threw together, but really thought out. And the big focus on it is skill development, mentorship, and actually learning how to play the game. You know, that's something that as I continue now with my own son, as we continue to see the day program, there seems to be a want or a need to go, you know, how come, you know, you don't give more one-on-one? Well, it's tough. So this is kind of
the time. Yeah, it's all about time.
You know, and so this is kind of that setting to get that one-on-one attention, to get to learn how to play the game at you know, to have the basic fundamentals. There's going to be pitching, but there's not going to be any pitching in games. Everything's going to be a simulated game or a pitching machine game. And we're just going to teach kids of all age groups from 6-year-olds on up to high school kids. Obviously, the high school one will be much more rigorous in as far as fundamentals. And a lot of it's just stemmed from, if you ask a lot of baseball coaches in the area and you talk to a lot of youth baseball coaches, all these kids do is play. They don't practice. They don't, you know, you kind of learn by trial and error. And what you'll do in a game doesn't, just because you can do it, doesn't necessarily make it right. And so we kind of got a crusade going of just trying to teach the game from the ground up on the fundamentals of to do things the right way and learn how to play the game the right way and swing a bat the right way and do all those types of things. Because what you'll realize in baseball, there's probably no sport or activity that's more nuanced in how to do something. There's 1,001 ways to do it, but there's a lot of things that you can do. You know, I always love when you talk to the dad, he's like, oh, my kid can hit. Well, yeah, he can, you know, but if he did a couple other things, it would make life a lot easier for him. And so, you know, we're trying to teach those kids those progressions of why we do things and how to do things the right way. And so, you know, we have a lot of knowledge on our coaching staff between myself and Coach Clapp and Coach Hodges in dealing with youth baseball. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that we talk about as a coaching staff is, parents, if you are looking for a tremendous amount of success for your young baseball players, you probably should quit having them play baseball. Baseball is the most difficult sport growing up for different things. You'll have an all-star 1 year, and the next year he won't even be able to throw or hit, or vice versa. 1 year he won't even know what he's doing, and the next year it'll just kind of click. Baseball is one of those sports that will, it truly will ebb and flow throughout his entire life based upon where his body is at maturation-wise, where his neurological functions are. I mean, I don't want to get technical over the whole thing, but so our whole point is teach him how to do things the right way and have fun with it. And you're not building the next, you know, Bryce Harper or Mike Trout or those types of things. And if they're, you know, I know that I'm not going to get on my soapbox and start a public debate here on the Doug and Daddy show, but if you go back to a lot of the big important things, and this is kind of where our youth baseball academy started from, is if you read the Mike Matheny's original manifesto, not the book, not the whole thing, but just his original three paragraphs.
Mike Matheny, the manager of the Cardinals.
Yes. If you haven't read it, go online, look it up. But his original three paragraph thing that he wrote, not the book. It's very simple, and this is something we try to even explain to parents, is did you have fun and did you play hard? That's it. That's really all we should be discussing. And I think that if we can get that kind of back in baseball, we can make baseball really fun again. Because I'll be honest with you, I look around Kearney and I look around Central Nebraska and I know athletes and I see athletes, and you do kind of get worried. There's some really good athletes that don't play baseball anymore. You know, and I mean, you can say that for the same thing. There's some really good athletes that don't play football. But from a baseball standpoint, as a baseball guy and a guy who loves baseball and all that baseball brings to it from a life lesson standpoint, every coach is going to tell you, my sport teaches you more about life lesson, you know, that whole thing. But, you know, we got to do some things to make baseball fun. So this is kind of one of those brainchild opportunities for us as a baseball program. Getting our players involved in it, getting our coaching staff involved in it, and just make it fun, whether it be through drills or you know, non-intense type of thing. We're really excited about putting this project forward and continuing to promote youth baseball and playing baseball the right way.
And the Blue Gold Academy is going to be when, how long, what's the
If you go to lopercamps.com, that it'll have all the information. It's so varying on games and time, or excuse me, dates and times and age groups and everything under the sun. If you just kind of go to lopercamps.com or go to UNK Baseball, it'll have the whole gamut of things that you can kind of sign up for and get involved in and you know, come out and give us a try.
It starts for the younger kids 6 through 8, like on August 17th, in about three sessions once a week. And the older you get, the more sessions you have, 14 and up. Looks like they have six or seven of them running out through the month of September. So check that out as well on the Blue Gold Baseball Academy. We've got Royals baseball coming your way tonight on the Breeze 94.5 as they take on Pittsburgh. A slugfest last night between a couple of good pitchers. It turned into a slugfest. Pittsburgh won it by a score of 10-7. The Coaches Association All-Star Basketball games were last night, and some of the smaller school players stepped up and were big in this ball game. Doesn't tell you much when you just say red and blue, but the Red Girls won 82-70. Allison Arnes of Crofton led the way with 21 points in the basketball game. Allie Prasoski of Kearney Catholic played on that team. The Blue, Jenna Gillespie of Holdridge had 6. Mackenzie Willicott of Blue Hill had 9. Kelsey Stidham of Kearney also played on that team. Rochelle Tucker of Pierce had 16 in the ball game yesterday. And for the boys, Pierce Ullman of Grand Island, Tanner Borkhardt of Gothenburg played in the contest. Grant Lom of Columbus Scotus kind of lit it up. He had 21 points in the Reds' 95-88 victory. So tonight it's volleyball in Lincoln at Lincoln North Star, and it's at 7 o'clock. It's on NET2. And sometimes that's a little confusing. And we had a couple of those things with Nebraska baseball over the spring. If you have Charter, it's channel 190. 190 on Charter, and if you have Director Dish, you're going to have to look that up, but it is 190 on the Charter network, which most everybody has throughout our listening area. Playing in the game, Claire Hamburger of Hastings St. Cecilia, Tiana Reeves of Gothenburg, who is going to Nebraska, Allison Penner, Aurora, Lindsay Siegel, Ansley Litchfield on the blue, on the red, Morgan Studi, Kearney Catholic, Emma Benton, Grand Island Central Catholic, Allie Rouse of Minden, Kenzie Drudick of Ord, and Hannah Kring of Axtell, and then the softball will be played tomorrow. A couple other volleyball notes before we take another break. First, you've got the FIBA World Grand Prix coming to Omaha, and that gets underway tomorrow. Seven of the world's top eight teams will be on hand. The United States will play Japan Wednesday, Italy Thursday, Russia Friday, and then they've got Brazil on Saturday, and their game against China Sunday will be at noon from the CenturyLink Center in Omaha, so that's going on. And here's another one that I guess you just scratch your head and go, how does a freshman in high school have any idea what they want to do 4 years from now? That's why I have a problem with all this. But again, I'm not the coach, I'm not the parent. And when you start handing out awards like National High School Freshman of the Year, this kind of stuff is going to happen. And Nebraska gets a commit from Nicklin Hames, 5'11 setter from Knoxville, Tennessee, who is PrepVolleyball.com's National Freshman of the Year. And she'll be the second recruit for the class of 2018. Already had offers from Penn State, Minnesota, and Michigan State. So it's a great get. But, Damon, a lot is going to happen between now and then.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
No.
But I don't know what you can do about it.
Nothing. There's nothing. The cat's out of the bag on all those. And all you and I can do is wax poetically and reminiscent about the good old days of pickup sports and non-youth tendering type of thing. So nothing you can do about it. Horses out of the barn.
Freshman.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the East Division for today's team, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
The Ohio State Buckeyes, and we are pleased to be joined on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Damon Day, by the man in the know, Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch. And Tim, great to catch up with you again. Before we know it, we're going to be walking around in Chicago. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing way out there? on the western outpost of the Big Ten.
There is no doubt about it, 100% factual. We're just talking about how bad of golfers we are. But the story we just got done with, Tim, and we love Tim May for a variety of reasons, but he definitely has been on this beat and the national perspective. And we just got done talking about a volleyball player committing to Nebraska that was the National Freshman of the Year. High school freshman of the year, class of 2018, and I know Ohio State football and a variety of sports around the country are looking at that. The NCAA has started to do some looking into this. Is there any light on the horizon? Just your thoughts on getting these kids that have no idea at that age what they want to do in 4 years.
Well, you know, anybody can make a decision anytime they want to in life. That's just the way it is. They also have the right to change their mind at any point. And, you know, this is really what's funny is a lot of this is sort of media driven from the standpoint of, you know, I mean, being a beat reporter, you know, I'm charged with not only covering Ohio State football, but keeping up with who's coming next in the pipeline. And so that has evolved, as I like to tell people, that has evolved from, you guys know who Tom Lemming is, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
That has evolved from Tom Lemming way back 30 years ago, dictating me over the phone his top 100 list in the country. that's how it was disseminated back then. You know, a few of us were writing about it to now it's become, it's not a cottage industry anymore. It is an industry covering recruiting. And so it has made it more, I'm not trying to give you a history on it, but it's made it more paramount. I mean, it's ridiculous now. I mean, there are websites devoted to just covering Ohio State recruiting. I mean, and I'm sure this Nebraska probably has similar type sites. And so the point is, you got to feed those sites, and the coaches get involved with it too, because obviously the coaches know who the rising talent is from freshman, sophomore to junior years in their high school ranks, and so they get fired up about covering those. I mean, about offerings, making offerings maybe ahead of time, maybe before they should, because they know from reading the websites that other people are on these guys. My point is, it's been a crescendo this building for a long time, and I wouldn't just put it all on the colleges or the coaches involved or on the youngsters involved. I mean, the media is as much a part of this as anything else. So I'm not sure you can ever put that genie back in the bottle. Bottom line is, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is the push it's on for an early signing date for football, which would allow teams like Nebraska, Ohio State, whomever. I mean, Bo Pelini, of course, was for that long ago, who get a commitment from a kid who seems like he is definitely, since he was a freshman in high school, has wanted to go to that university. He can go ahead and get it out of the way. You know, the pursuit is still going to continue for some of the blue chips who want to, for want of another word, play the game. But the rules of that game have changed dramatically. Nobody really got pursued until their senior year a long time ago, you know, and now it's, like you said, sophomore, junior, sometimes even a freshman in high school is getting pursued. So it's, I don't know, yeah, it's putting the genie back in the bottle would be extremely difficult because there's a lot of smoke out there now.
Tim May with us on the Columbus Dispatch. Going to talk a little Ohio State football here. With most of the teams that we preview, it's like, where's your strength? Where's your weakness? I don't think there's a whole lot that we have to talk about when you're the national champion. So, Tim, is Ohio State stacked up to be far and away the dominant team in the Big Ten again in your eyes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I'm not the only one saying that, from Phil Steele to whomever you want to quote out there or look at, or prognosticators you want to look at. I mean, Ohio State's the hands down, not only number one in the Big Ten, but probably number one in the country. There could be some argument put up by the likes of TCU, but Ohio State returns, 16, 17 starters from last year's national championship game, and including most of the guys who did the damage on the offensive side of the ball, and nobody, and I mean nobody in college football history has ever had a three quarterback situation like Ohio State has going into this preseason camp. What remains to be seen whether Braxton Miller will be totally 100% ready to throw the ball at the beginning of camp, but he should be as camp goes on. And of course, we know what JT Barrett did, finishing fifth in Heisman Trophy voting last year and winning the Big Ten not only Freshman of the Year award, but Offensive MVP award. And of course, Cardale Jones became a household name in a matter of a month there, and leading the greatest postseason run in major college history as Ohio State went 3-0 and won the national championship. So, I think that's legit, you know. But as we all know, injuries and other things have ways of upsetting apple carts sometimes. But if you look at the schedule, I mean, besides the opener at Virginia Tech, the only team to beat Ohio State last year, I mean, this schedule favors Ohio State quite well right up until the last two games of the regular season, when they host Michigan State and then play at Michigan, which is promises to be revived under Jim Harbaugh. It's going to be a back-end loaded schedule for Ohio State.
As you mentioned, everyone's talking about the three-headed quarterback race that is going on in for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Being around the program, seeing them every day, knowing what you know, who is your pick to be the starting quarterback on opening day?
It changes with every interview show I do. I'm trying to cover all my bases. I'm trying to be, guy watching the GOP presidential race right now, trying to figure out who's best in 18, you know. JT Barrett makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. He is the guy that stepped in last year and by midseason was showing everybody what this Urban Meyer offense is really all about, just the multiplicity of it. Braxton Miller is one of the great talents to come along in a long time in college football at the quarterback position, from the standpoint of being able to beat you at any moment with his feet, but also he's probably a better passer than most people remember or give him credit for. And, of course, Cardale Jones, like I just said, he won three of the biggest games you've ever seen. Urban Meyer, I talked to him about this a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to Braxton Miller for the first time since he got injured way back in August of last year. And he was in Urban Meyer's office. And, you know, like I said to Coach Meyer, I said, you know, really, it seems like you almost have an obligation to Braxton Miller, because Braxton Miller in that 2012 team was the one that gave – really, Ohio State had stake in the sand. You know, the sand was all going out to sea at one point. And after 2011 and all the turmoil of the program, and they went 12-0, and a lot of that early in that season was because of the daring do of Braxton Miller. So there's quite an obligation that Braxton Miller and Urban Meyer admitted as much. But then you look at J.T. Barrett, and he goes, I also have an obligation to J.T. Barrett, what he did, you know. And then Cardale Jones, I mean, that speaks for itself. So, he's not playing any favorites from what I can tell. I'm talking about Urban Meyer. He has said straight up it's going to be an analytical exercise, that they're going to keep copious stats as the preseason goes along, and especially after it gets really cranked up in probably the middle part, and who moves the sticks, who completes the passes, who throws in 707s to the open guys, who directs the team in sort of a more of a leadership way. All three of these guys are good leaders. He said these guys are going to know literally from day to day where they stand in the pecking order. So, with that said, it is definitely a horse race. I don't think there is an American Pharaoh in this right now.
Tim Beck's with us, or I'm going to ask you about Tim Beck, but Tim May is with us from the Columbus Dispatch for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show previewing Ohio State. I want to ask you about a couple of your coaches. Tim Beck leaving Nebraska, dismissed from Nebraska, however you want to say it, and moving on to take over the offense and the quarterbacks there at Ohio State. And then maybe the forgotten guy, Luke Fickell, who had the year interim there when things had changed. What about first Coach Beck, and will he, what his say is in this quarterback situation, and then how Luke and the linebackers are doing?
Yeah, first thing, Urban Meyer made Ed Warner, the offensive line, who's the offensive line coach and co-offensive coordinator last year. He is the offensive coordinator taking the place of Tom Herman, but obviously Tim Beck will work closely with him. I mean, let's face it, you guys have been around football probably as much or maybe more than I have. The starting quarterback question is always answered by the head coach of any football team. That's what it's going to come down to. With that said, these guys have all, I'm talking about the fellows involved, have all expressed happiness with the way Tim Beck is going about doing things. I mean, they've all enjoyed working with him, at least so far. So, I mean, he's going to bring a new perspective in from the standpoint of maybe a few more wrinkles that Ohio State can use in this offense from that, for want of another word, that diamond formation that he showed from time to time in Nebraska. We'll see if that shows up at Ohio State. Heck, he might have three quarterbacks in it. Urban Meyer hinted that he might have three quarterbacks on the field at one time in that interview I did with him a couple of weeks ago. I think that may just be throwing Chad out there to alert the shark, to attract the sharks, though. But bottom line is, I'm sure he's going to add some things because Urban Meyer is a real student of the game. He liked a lot of things that Nebraska did over the last several years in their spread offense. So Tim Beck will be involved in that regard. And of course, he'll be closely involved in the quarterback deal. And then Luke Fickell, I mean, the bringing in of Chris Ash as the co-defensive coordinator last year, they redid the defense in a lot of ways. And it was the end of the year, the aggressive, I'm not going to say carefree approach, but the aggressive let it all hang out kind of approach the defense played with, especially once it got the playoff time in the Big Ten championship game and then the two playoff games. They made a few mistakes, but they also got after it, created turnovers, and that's what Urban Meyer wants. He wants a dynamic group on the field from a defensive standpoint, and he saw that as that year went along last year.
Just a last question here, because I'm reading the prospectus getting ready for this Ohio State chat here, and I mean, it reminds me of the way a Nebraska fan would have touted the Huskers in the 90s when they were going for back-to-back national championships, that there is hardly any, I mean, you read the spring preview here, and it's like they're telling you they could play in the NFL. Ohio State is going to be that good. Tim, outside of mental, is there any weakness that you see going into the fall?
Yeah, number one, I would never ever say that about any college football team, even Alabama, especially after watching Alabama play in his last two bowl games. Number two, Michael Bennett was a hell of a player for them, especially in the playoffs last year. When he changed the uniform numbers from 63 to 53 in honor of Costa Kara George, the young walk-on or the senior walk-on defensive lineman who allegedly committed suicide over the Michigan weekend, disappeared on Thanksgiving, before Thanksgiving anyway. He wore his number 53 and played like another person. I mean, it was like inspired football. And now he's with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they're going to definitely miss him. Tommy Shutt's got to step up in that regard. Defensive end is Tyquan Lewis going to step up. They kind of made do with Steve Miller last year, who ended up making one of the great plays in Ohio State defensive history in that win over Alabama, that pick six when he dropped into coverage and picked off Phillip Sims in that huge turnaround game. And then those are some of the questions you look at. And then at cornerback, is Garen Conley going to play with the Elan that Duran Grant had last year? Garen Conley's a new starter there. I mean, defensively, they've got a couple of guys, several guys who need to answer some questions, and we'll see if that happens. And even that, Raekwon McMillan was basically the number one inside linebacker recruit in the country a year ago, played sparingly, really, last year as Curtis Grant, the senior, held sway. Is he going to live up to expectations? That's what everybody expects, but, you know, you got to see it first.
All right, I have to ask the question. The school up north has a new head coach. What do you think?
Well, like I said a while ago, man, I expect him to revive. I would say wake up the Echoes, but that's the other school over
that's
in South
the greatest.
Bend.
That's the greatest expect, football program in the country.
I expect him to be as wacky as he seems on the outside. He is a very intense and obviously very effective football coach, from University of San Diego to Stanford to the San Francisco 49ers. I think anybody can see the results he's turned out. And that's not smoke and mirrors. He gets teams to play really hard and very physical. That's what Urban Meyer, forget about Urban Meyer's spread offense, what sets Ohio State apart in many of the matchups anymore is they play extremely physical, and they like to pound the ball with a physical running game and then spread you out on top of that. Jim Harbaugh is very much a physical, that kind of guy, and he's a throwback to Bo Schembechler. And, guys, don't forget, 68 Ohio State went undefeated, won the national championship. In 69, they had those fabulous sophomores were back, the super softs, and they went to Michigan under a brand-new head coach, Bo Schembechler, and got upset when they were going for a second straight national championship. I'm telling you, the game in Ann Arbor is going to be huge.
It's always fun to have rivalries, but I'll tell you what, Ohio State looks stacked, and Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch, always gracious with his time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN. Tim, we'll see you in Chicago. Thanks again for the time.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Take care, buddy. I'll tell you what, I mean, it reminds you that if you want to root against Ohio, they're not going to lose, Damon. The only way they lose is a key injury, and they are so stacked. Even at the most crucial position. Damon, they have everybody back. They have their kicker, their punter, and their long snapper back. That's how detailed this team is. And I thought defensive line, I didn't want to put myself on the pedestal there to get knocked off if I was wrong with that. But I thought defensive line with Bennett graduating and moving on to the pros would be, if there's anywhere a weakness, that would be it. But this is going to be preseason number one in the country. And back in the Final Four.
Oh, I cannot agree more. I mean, they are number one across the board. There's no question. There's no anything. To say that they're going to go undefeated, I always go back to the old, no matter how talented, no matter how physically gifted they are, no matter how much of the guru they have under Urban Meyer, you're still dealing with 22-year-old young men, and there's always that game or two that there's a play or something happens that can be done with it, that can kind of sway it either way. So on paper, I agree. They're not going to even be challenged. But there's going to be somebody, and I think that's even probably a bigger discussion, is who is going to be that team? Is it going to be the Michigan State at home in Columbus when all the eyes are going to be on the game the next week against Michigan? So they do have, I mean, they do have some, I don't want to say hiccup games, but those are the games that I'm looking at. Virginia Tech opening the weekend, Blacksburg. You know, those are the types of games. Are those the ones that are going to be the hookups? When they got to go all the way to New Jersey and take on Rutgers. I know Rutgers is not anywhere near the caliber. But those are those two or three games that I look at the schedule and I say, those are dangerous games. Those are the trap games or the letdown games. You know, going to the big city, going to the New York area for that Rutgers game. Michigan State, Virginia Tech, those are the ones that I'll be interested to see how they do.
Michigan at Michigan will be the most dangerous with all that will be at stake in the last game of the year, and then have to play that right after Michigan State. I would guess I would still have to highlight Michigan State as the toughest game, but it's at home. The reason you're looking ahead possibly at Michigan, unless Michigan's like 2-8 at that time where you don't have to worry about looking ahead. But, folks, Ohio State, and we've kind of made fun of this, like there, we talked yesterday about how tough the schedule is for a borderline Maryland team. And yes, if you're Ohio State, your schedule probably looks easy. But Nebraska, would you take this? Indiana, Maryland, Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, Illinois. That's their first six Big Ten games. Yeah. Really? And they start at Virginia Tech, so they got all the time to prepare. Then they host Hawaii, Northern Illinois, Western Michigan.
And Northern Illinois is that interesting game because, you know, they have had some BCS success, but they still they signed him up after the quarterback graduated. You know, that's the old ooh. When does he graduate? We'll play in the next year because we'll get some name recognition. Everyone will be like, oh, that Northern Illinois team. Oh, but they got a new quarterback.
No doubt about it. Ohio State. They are going to, if they're not one, they're two. And the thing about that, and I'll say it again, we shouldn't have these preseason college football polls where they start too early. That will allow Ohio State to lose a football game and still make the Final Four. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Thank God this was the question and the response yesterday. $44,000 is what the Deflategate ball from the AFC Championship game and the Patriots sold for. Would you pay that much for it, even if you're a Patriots fan?
No.
100%. That may be the first 100% vote we've ever had. No.
I don't even know if, from a collector standpoint, if that's that big of a investment.
It probably would be if Brady got, you know, something more on that and down the line. We ask you what our Midtown Mart cooler question for today. A big deal being made out of Becky Hammon being the coach of the Spurs Summer League team, and they won the Summer League title. They have a little tournament at the end of the summer. How long have they been playing? Even a month? Didn't they just start like 2 weeks ago? But what's the most meaningless game to win? The NBA Summer League Championship, the Snoopy Bowl, which is the Jets-Giants preseason game, or any celebrity all-star game? Those are all pretty meaningless. I'll go with any celebrity all-star game because the other ones are pros. The other ones are pros. That's why I would vote that way.
Yeah, and celebrity is a loose term.
We'll take a break. That is our Midtown Mark cooler question. Wrap it up after this.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport. Equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment, with locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
You've taught your son everything, from fishing to hunting, baseball to football. You're the man. He looks up to you to teach him all the great things in life.
But have you taught him that real men don't abuse women?
This is one of the most important talks a man can ever have with his son.
Teach, talk, listen, lead.
To learn more about how to start this conversation, log on to sassacenter.org for resources. This message supported by funds awarded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Like football.
There's only one thing you guarantee, man, and that is 60 minutes of hard-nosed physical football.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. If you go to the Columbus Dispatch and go to their Buckeye Insider, they have a countdown ticker. Not countdown till fall practice begins, not countdown till the first game of the season. It's how many days it's been since Michigan beat the Ohio State football team, which is at 1,333. Oh, even Big Red doesn't do that, do they?
Who's Big Red's rival?
Well, it's Wisconsin. It is. Yeah, it is now. I mean, it's a short one. We talked about Minnesota because Minnesota, that could be a friendly rivalry, but it's only the friendly rivalry is when you dominate it. I mean, you win it 80 to 90% of the time. The true rivalries probably is when you don't win it as much, and it means a whole lot more on your side because I don't think Wisconsin would pick Nebraska, and Nebraska is never going to pick Iowa as their rivals. So I would have to go with Wisconsin right now, but there's no true rival on there. We knew this one going into the Big Ten.
I think a lot of schools right now are searching for that new rival. I think there's a lot of schools that don't have the traditional rival that maybe their dads grew up with hating, or even, you know, we grew up hating. And I think, you know, you look at their, you know, A&M, someone's all over the TV this morning. Who's their big rival now?
Well, we talked about this with Jimmy Langan, I think it was, in the last 2 weeks here. The term, to me, rivalry has changed.
Right.
What a rivalry is now, it was mean-spirited when we grew up and before. I mean, as I pointed out, we can refer to them as old-timers. That could be anybody from my age to their 90s. But, you know, when the school, and I didn't even want to pick out towns, but when the towns were 7 miles apart, as many of them are, especially along the railroad and along the highway, and that's why they're 7 miles, they hated each other.
Yeah.
If it was 21 miles down the road, no big deal. But, oh, yeah, you dated my sister, and you bought corn from him and not me, and there was a bar fight. And you can, I mean, all that stuff that is instrumental with the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that made a rivalry different than it is today.
I'd agree.
Folks, we got a couple more things here, and then we'll wrap it up on today's Doug and Daddy show. I think we touched on almost everything we needed to touch on, including the Baseball Academy camp. Go to lopers.com, and specifically to find out more about the camps, the website is what, Damon?
Lopercamps.com.
Lopercamps.com. You're not a hunter, are you?
No.
No. But I know we have a lot of hunters out there, and I know one of the big things every year is to be in the Game and Parks Commission lottery for bighorn sheep. You get to go out different places. It's just your permit. One permit is all that's issued. Only one person is going to win this. Could be from anywhere. Residents have to be at least 12 by the opening day of the season. Residents may apply once per calendar year and may receive one permit per lifetime. $25 non-refundable application fee. Non-residents not eligible. Applications must be received in the Game and Parks Commission's Lincoln office by closing time on August the 7th. Go to outdoornebraska.gov and look for the bighorn sheep application. I know some people chuckle. Some people, that is lifeblood. The big-time hunters would love to be able to do that. We are wrapping things up here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where right now you can be part of the Midway team. The Midway Auto Outlet is open for business, providing everything from a lower-end daily driver with great gas mileage to late-model, low-mileage vehicles. And with that expansion, they're looking for more employees. Right now, detail prep and porter, starting wage $9.50 an hour, responsible for working in the wash bay, and assistant detail, service advisors, must be 17 years of age or more. Go to MidwayCareers.com. Just one of the opportunities you have to join the Midway team at MidwayCareers.com. So check it out, and we would love to have Midway getting ready for the Buffalo County Fair coming up this next couple of weeks here, starting this weekend and going into next week. Check out some of their great new vehicles that'll be out at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. We want to thank our guest, Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch, talking national championship football with Ohio State. Jeff Perdue out of the Warri Dunes, who played the mini tours with Zach Johnson. Heard from him last night as they've been texting back and forth, and we thank him for that. Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal will look at Purdue football tomorrow. Do you like Purdue, or do you have anything on them, Damon, an Indiana Notre Dame guy?
Yeah, Purdue's awesome.
I
like Boilermakers. That's a good campus. It's a fun campus.
Yeah, anybody's mascot's a drink has to be
exactly
fun campus.
Not that I did that, but rumor has it.
No, Damon, have a good one. Enjoy a little bit of vacation. Okay?
Got some time away with the family going back home to Indiana. It's not home. It's just my hometown of Indiana, so we're going to enjoy that.
Do a lot of Indiana singing and play a lot of John Cougar, would you?
Yeah, a little Cubs game.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Drew, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game on!